Holiday shoppers, there are now no more shopping days left until Christmas, because today is Christmas Day, and this is Christmas Creeps, your one-stop shop for holiday movies and TV shows all year round. Hi, folks. My name is Joseph Wade. I will be your host for this evening. Here with me tonight, returning guest to the show, my lovely fiance, Nikki, is back on the show. Nikki, hi. Merry Christmas.
Hello, Christmas Creeps. On this Christmas day.
This lovely Christmas day when we're releasing the... But in fact, it's 4 days till Christmas. It's the first day of winter.
We won't... We'll pretend that's not real, though. It's Christmas!
It's Woo! Christmas! Maintain kayfabe! So I could not round up boys for a Christmas Day episode like we normally do, but that's okay because...
Holiday hectics are real.
Yep. Things happen and, you know, you have to just... Roll adjust. With it and adjust and make sure that everyone is...
Luckily, Joseph has a lady friend who's willing to step in and help out every now and then.
Yeah, but Libby said she couldn't do it today.
Oh, okay. Jerk.
I'm kidding, of course. Oh, my gosh. But, you know, it is Christmas. We like to have something special for our listeners on Christmas Day. So this year... Nikki and I decided to exchange gifts in the form of our favorite Adult Swim Christmas episodes. This is a stocking stuffer where we talk about Christmas TV shows. So this is officially our first Christmas Day stocking stuffer, which is very exciting. Because hopefully we'll get in and out of here in about 30 minutes and y'all can go have a fancy, fun rest of Christmas Day and not have to worry about listening to us anymore.
Awesome.
Yay!
Yay!
It's a Christmas miracle.
Our gift to you is a short episode.
Nothing finer. Nothing finer. But, you know, since we are discussing Adult Swim episodes, I think it's only fair that we share in some holiday libations to make these episodes make a little bit more sense, don't you think? So, crack one open if you've got one.
Yay!
Here you go. Here we go. Oh, that was a lovely sound.
I normally drink wine, but we went to Total Wine and I bought some fun Christmas beers. This is Old Hickory Brewing Company. I'm assuming out of Hickory, North Carolina. And they have Christmas ale with honey and spices.
I like Old Hickory.
It's pretty good. Yeah. I do like, yeah, I like it.
Good. What's your favorite kind of beer, like, to drink when we do, you know, stuff like this?
Guinness. I like the darker beers. Mm-hmm. So, I think I like dark beers a lot, but this is a nice ale. I can definitely taste, like, the spices and stuff like that. It says, we believe our Christmas beer is the perfect beer for a merry season. Brewed... From fond childhood memories of fresh-baked cakes and cookies, Christmas ale is made with local honey, fresh grated ginger, cinnamon stick, and fresh orange zest together with the finest two-row barley, pure water hops, and love.
Oh.
Nice.
That sounds lovely.
Yeah.
But then while you're enjoying that, I'll take a swig of this one. I have tonight an Omegang Brewery Everything Nice limited release ale. This is a strong blonde ale with seasonal spice and natural artificial flavors. So let's, that is very spicy. Like, spicy. Not like hot spicy, but Christmas spicy. Oh. You can definitely taste like the nutmeg in this. And cinnamon. Now that piqued Nikki's interest. She has to try it. Okay, we're going to go ahead and just try each other's beers.
We may end up switching beers. I like Joseph's beer better than mine.
Yours is a lot more mild than mine.
I know. Mine's definitely a pale ale.
Mm-hmm.
ish in.
Yeah, that's a blonde ale with a lot of spice to it.
Yeah. I wish mine had more oomph in it.
You know, I like it more mild, so this is right up my alley. So, Merry Christmas, my love. Well, so friends, on this Christmas day, we're here to talk about one of our favorite things growing up, being the weird kids that watch TV late at night. It's Adult Swim, the adult cartoon, I guess, offshoot of the Cartoon Network. Started around, you know, the year 2000 or so, and still going to this day, thanks to, you know, Rick and Morty and all that. But we have very specific memories of watching Adult Swim as youths, don't we?
Yes. I remember that my parents never liked Adult Swim, and so, like, I didn't really start watching it until I got older. Like, I would say, like, my late teens is when I started watching Adult Swim. And I loved only specific shows. There was a few shows that I thought were very silly, which I think happens to a lot of girls. But I remember loving Metalocalypse.
And that surprises me, because you're not really a metal person, are you?
Music-wise, it depends.
Mm-hmm.
There's certain metal genres I like. But aesthetically, no. Musically, I could get into some metal, but aesthetically, not really.
Like, typically, when we're in the car driving and some Anthrax comes on, you change the channel pretty quick.
I do, very much
so. It's a race to see if I can turn it up or you can turn it out.
If you're familiar with Metalocalypse, I would definitely say I gravitate more towards Toki Wartooth.
Yeah, so... I can see that. Yeah. I can definitely see that. So I guess we'll jump into your pick first, which was the Metalocalypse episode called Deathmas. Mm-hmm. Season 3, episode 4, came out, I think, December 10th, 2009.
So I would be 19.
I would have been 23. Mm-hmm. That was in my nascent grad school days when I was watching that. I take it back. I've never seen this episode before, to be honest. Yeah. So this is a new one to me tonight.
I can't remember if I would have watched it when it first came out, or if, because me and my sister got really into it together at one certain time, and we had to, like, catch up.
Right.
And watch all of them. But I do remember this being one of our favorite episodes. Probably because of all the Christmas festivities. And, of course, their family coming to visit and such.
Yeah, that's a big part of, like, any Christmas celebration is family coming over to visit. Yeah. For the uninitiated, if you don't know, Metalocalypse is a very strange show about the most brutal heavy metal band that's ever been.
So it has five members. You have Nathan, who is kind of like the leader. Mm. Pickles, Swisgar. Pickles the drummer, Nathan is the vocalist, and then you have Swisgar, who is the lead guitar, mm-hmm. and then you have Toki, who is kind of secondary guitar, and then you go to Murderface, who is the bass guitarist.
I think the theme song says his full name is William Murderface, Murderface, Murderface. Is that correct?
Yeah, there's a lot. I think they call him William Murderface, but then they say Murderface, Murderface. I thought that was just part of the lyrics.
Well, I remember in one of the early episodes when, like, the shady cabal of, like, government people are going through their dossiers of the band, and the guy's listing off the band members' names, and he comes to Murderface and he just says William Murderface, Murderface, Murderface.
Yeah, because Murderface was raised by his grandparents, mostly his grandmother, because his grandfather is very sick and right. Kind of, you know, whatever. And so his grandmother is one of the reigning characters in this show, because, or this episode, because she comes to visit when the mothers come to visit, and she is just a hoot nanny.
Okay, so there's a lot going on in this episode.
So, kind of like an overview of the episode, because it does revolve around Murderface in general, is that Murderface is trying to get a Christmas special.
Right.
And he would like Deathclock to be involved, but they don't really want to be involved. And so their manager of sorts gets funding for it by mainly the Christian church.
Right. The Christian Church of Churchology. Yes. Something like that.
And so while this is progressing, the band itself is getting messages from their mothers that they want to come visit for Christmas. Toki is preparing for his Secret Santa gift exchange while his friend Dr. Roxo is getting out of jail. And
the rock and roll clown.
The rock and roll clown. He does cocaine. And he's getting out of jail. So there's a lot going on. But he's looking for a sponsor, per se. And he tries to find that in Toki. But he falls off the wagon again and takes Toki's presents. It's very sad.
Meanwhile, the band gets kind of railroaded into doing the Christmas special with Murderface while their mothers are here trying to decorate the death house for Christmas or whatever it's called.
Right. And while they're decorating, I feel as if Nathan gives one of my favorite descriptions of a Christmas tree, which I will play right now because I actually love it.
Well, you know what? It's growing on me. It's like having a rotting corpse in your house, but the corpse of a tree, you know? It's kind of badass. It's dead, and then you humiliate it even further by hanging ornaments all over it like, fuck you.
You know, when you see it like that, it makes sense, but still, it still sucks, you know?
Shall I burn it, my lords?
No, leave it. Just throw some rotting meat on it and pour some pig's blood on it or whatever, you know? It'll be bearable, I guess.
I mean, he's not wrong. That's exactly what it is.
Right, so a rotting corpse of a Christmas tree, which you then decorate in your living room. And ever since I've seen that episode, like, I think I quote that almost every single year. I was like, oh, you know, it's just a rotting corpse of a tree, which we degrade even further by dressing it up. And
then I kind of ruined that joke when I said, let's get a fake tree.
Of course. But it's still fun.
It's still fun. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's such a big part of Christmas is having the Christmas tree. And like, it's a huge debate. Do you get the real tree? Do you get the fake tree? Well, real trees, you're killing a tree, but a fake tree, it's not real. So like, I get both sides of it. I don't know.
Then you have like a fake body of a dead corpse.
So it's just like a mannequin. Just
It's not as fun.
I take it back. A mannequin hanging around in our house that we just decorate, you know, seasonally, that would be kind of fun.
I don't know.
We have skulls all over our house. Don't tell me that wouldn't be fun.
And you said I wasn't metal.
Okay, fair enough. You got me there. My favorite part of this is like when they actually get to doing the Christmas special itself, and the representative from the church tells Murderface, like, you can't do any swearing, you can't do anything blasphemous. So it's just him and his producer, what is his name, like Kurt Nubler?
Something stupid like that.
Like, they're trying so hard to do like your typical cheesy Christmas special, and you can just see it on their faces, like they just want to swear so bad.
Yeah.
Until Murderface's grandmother breaks through because she's on the hunt for booze.
Yeah, because the moms work so hard to get Christmas ready. They had decorated Death House, and then they had a Mordor.
Mordhouse,
that's what it's called. Yeah. Mordor. Mordhouse. And then they get to the special, and you know, they had worked hard to set that up as well. And then they do what every mother finally does when they're able to relax and enjoy Christmas, which is get crunk and find the wine.
Yep. And I love that they've like locked the wine in like a bank vault with chains and
to keep it away
and
from
locks
them.
And stuff, and she just breaks right through that.
Yeah. She's on a motorized scooter, and she is on a mission.
Yeah, like I said, I'd never seen this before. Loved it. Thought it was hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
This might be part of my new Christmas rotation.
Nice.
For TV shows and stuff. Our metric for TV shows on this show is, would you play this at a Christmas party?
I think with the right people, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it would since it is kind of making fun of the Christian church and... You know, since they sponsor it, I wouldn't say necessarily making fun of it, but they do have a very specific scene where they have baby Jesus farting. and such. So you have to play it for the right crowd, because you know it's Christmas. You never really want to offend people if you don't have to,
right?
You know,
especially like on this show, we walk that line like a tightrope. So this is probably a show. Anybody out there listening to our show would probably enjoy those.
Okay, well, good. You know? Then I recommend it. I think it's funny.
I think it's very funny too.
Yeah, and I mean I like Metalocalypse. You know, we watched the show, and then recently they've come out with the specials, the Doomstar Requiem, which was a rock opera, and
right.
Then they came out with another kind of movie after that, and it was really good too.
The movie that kind of blew me away.
Yeah,
it's like I watched the first season of Metalocalypse when it came out, because that first episode hit, and I remember my brother sent it to me, and a couple other friends sent it to me, and we just like sent it around, and we all watched it repeatedly, like, what is this show? Because it was brand new. We didn't know anything about it.
That first episode, that's the one where the chef like gets chopped. Yeah.
The coffee jingle episode.
Yeah.
And we were just baffled by this show. So that first season was just like, it's burned in my brain, but I kind of fell off after that. So I'm glad you brought it back around and showed me the Christmas episode, because I kind of love it.
Nice. Yeah.
Oh. And so then my gift to you in return, I actually had to make you watch two, because the first one was not great.
It wasn't, so we...
But we'll talk a little bit about that one. So I wanted us to watch and talk about the C-Lab 2021 Christmas episode called The Feast of Alvis, because that was a show that you and I kind of bonded over very, very quickly, very early on.
Yeah, I had never seen C-Lab, and when we first started dating, that was our couch show that we would watch and make out to.
Yeah, basically. Pretty much. But I'll go ahead and say it. I don't think we made it as far as this episode.
No,
or
we
maybe
didn't.
We just skipped it or something, because I don't think either one of us had seen this, and we were watching it last night trying to figure out like, what the hell is anybody talking about?
It was like the birth of Alvis or Alvis Day.
Yeah, like so C-Lab, you know, Captain Murphy in the crew of the underwater C-Lab, he's trying to put on a Christmas special of his own, which like right there ties into the Metalocalypse episode, but he's putting on a special for this religion called like Alvians, where it's all about the birth of Alvis, who was born in like an old Western fort.
Yeah. I felt like they were making fun of Christians in a way, trying to say that Christmas is most important over other December holidays.
Right. Because like half of the crew starts to like boycott the special because like they don't celebrate the Feast of Alvis like he does. And it's, you know, all the people of the C-Lab are different religions and but they're all made up weird religions. And you're right. They're trying to make a statement about like
one of the statements that was made was that you're a minority. You may be the biggest minority, but you're still a minority. And there's other people amongst you, you know.
Yeah.
You have to be respectful. And the guy was like, go f*** yourself.
But like, if anything, I kind of respect them for trying to talk about like the religious holidays without talking about any of the religious holidays and just making everything up.
It was all silly.
It was just extremely silly, and none of it really made sense.
It was like a cowboy on a buffalo talking about a holiday that was all about drinking.
Mm-hmm.
Vengeance is mine, quoth Alvis. Then he shot that guy right in the freaking face.
And then at the end,
White people problems.
And then
weird.
I don't know what they're trying to say with it. And frankly, I'm a little afraid to.
To put it bluntly, yeah. He picked a different episode.
Yeah. Like, I didn't want to dig into the Feast of Alvis because, like, that's going to get us in trouble with somebody. So instead, I pivoted to an even sillier show, Aqua Teen Hunger Force. And of course, most of you probably know exactly the next words that are about to come out of my mouth. The Cybernetic Ghost of Christmas Future from the Past, which was their Christmas episode.
I had never seen this episode before.
It had been a long, long time for me.
I've watched Aqua Teen Hunger Force before, but it was never my primary show. Mm-hmm. So it was always just like a show like I caught on random every now and then. And I liked this episode. I thought it was funny.
It was funny. Like, for me, Aqua Teen was one of those shows when it first came out. I think I was in my Kazaa LimeWire kind of days.
Arr.
Yeah. Sailing the high seas. And I got my hands on like a couple of early Aqua Teen episodes, and I just watched those repeatedly. Mm-hmm. They're burned into my brain now. But then, like, I'll see some other Aqua Teen episodes and go, like, I don't get any of this. What's going on? But those two or three that I love, they're the best thing on TV.
Yeah.
So, but this is kind of in between there, because the cybernetic ghost of Christmas Past from the future appears to Carl, their neighbor Carl, to tell him about his Christmas past, even though it's in February.
Right. He shows up at the wrong time. And it's like a Terminator duck with a mohawk. So you think about, like...
I struggled all day trying to think of how to describe this robot, and you nailed it.
A Terminator duck with a mohawk. But it's... First of all, Carl is, like, amazing. And then it showed, like, his past. You know, the Ghost of Christmas Past from the other one, that was the little girl, right? Who was, like, all innocent.
Yeah, yeah.
And, like, sweet and stuff like that from the original.
Yeah.
And then, like, this weird-ass duck robot shows up with, like, this crazy accent and takes Carl back to his past, where it's like his dad making him eat carpet
for Christmas,
which I thought was like a sex joke or sex innuendo, because it's like a man eating carpet or whatever. Right. But then I don't think it was supposed to be that.
No, it never got that far. Because
it never got that far.
He was like, Dad, how am I supposed to eat this carpet? And you think, oh, Dad's going to make some awful joke. But Dad's like, you got to boil it first, because you have to let the glue melt.
Right. And I was like, oh, oops.
But then you think that's going to, like, impart some lesson to him. But
no, it was
like,
just sad. No.
It was just sad. And then the ghost goes even further and explains to him, like, the horrible history of Christmas. And how, like, prehistoric times, Santa is a red ape that, like, leaves, that, I guess, terrorizes cave people.
But first of all, the whole reason why he has to explain this story is that after he visits Carl, Carl's like, it's February, you know, you need to leave. And he walks outside, and I don't know if the duck, so this kind of confused me, I don't know if the duck gets mad or what, but then, like, Carl's pool is filled with elf blood.
Elf blood. More elf blood than any horror movie we've covered on this show.
Right, and it's like, it's continuous overflowing elf blood.
Right. And so now he appears and has to explain where the elf blood came from. And that's basically the rest of the episode. Because he spins this tale.
Thousands of years ago, before the dawn of man as we knew him, there was Sir Santa of Claus, an ape-like creature making crude and pointless toys out of dino bone and his own waste, hurling them at chimp-like creatures with crinkled hands, regardless of how they behaved the previous year.
But none of them are good enough.
Because they keep falling apart.
Until the elves from outer space come.
Right, and he enslaves the elves from outer space into helping him make better toys that look like real things. And I think it's implied that the things that they make toys of inspire the things that are, like, the toys are supposed to look like. Like, they make toys that look like trains. It's like, oh, that's why we have trains?
Yeah, but then, like, the guy ends up killing the elves.
Right.
On the land that Carl's house is.
Specifically Carl's plot of land.
And then, like, the elf souls or whatever is, like, bleeding in the pool.
It turns into a really weird, like, Ghostbusters kind of story.
Yeah.
But that never really gets resolved.
And so it comes to a point where Carl is fed up with all this blood, and he feels like he needs to leave his house, but he has to sell it.
Right, like the ghost explains to him what he needs to do to stop the ghost, the elf blood, but instead he just decides to sell the house.
Right, because his alternative is to take it up the pooper
from
the Christmas monkey.
Yeah.
And so he just decides to sell the house.
Exactly. Which, of course you would.
Right.
And there's only one person in America who would want to buy a house where blood just flows endlessly. And that's Glenn Danzig. Everybody's favorite goth rock punk master, Glenn Danzig.
When he first came on, I did not know that was Danzig. I think I know Danzig now instead of Danzig then.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess I should have recognized him because he didn't wear a shirt.
That's true.
Like, I didn't realize that was him.
He usually doesn't wear a shirt.
Yeah.
But, I mean, he's also, and I don't mean to put you on blast here, Nikki, he's also the voice of your ringtone whenever your phone rings.
Right, but, like, when that happens and when I looked at that, it showed a picture of him, like, now.
Oh.
So maybe I discovered Danzig when he wasn't that Danzig when they made that show and he was, like, older Danzig.
Maybe.
And he had a shirt on.
Maybe you're just used to seeing the picture of Danzig coming out of the grocery store with, like, two giant bags of kitty litter.
Yeah, like, old man Danzig. So, like, when he popped up and it was, like, this young, like, ripped
dude, man, yeah,
with no shirt on, you're like, that's Danzig. And I'm like, how do you know that's Danzig? Like, what made you think that was Danzig? But it, no, it said in the credits it was Danzig. I totally did not get that was Danzig, though. Well,
not even that it's just the character of Danzig. It's Glenn Danzig voicing himself in the show.
Maybe I should have got it from that.
he wants to buy this house because it's the most brutal thing ever. Again, kind of tying back into Metalocalypse a little bit. Because
there's even a point where he's like, I need more blood.
Right, because now the ghost has skipped town because Danzig is just being insufferable. And there's really no Christmas lesson or anything in this episode. It really is kind of just
lots of blood.
A wacko non sequitur about Christmas Danzig. Past and Danzig. And which, you know, what more do you need out of Christmas, really?
Not a lot.
As we say, that's a rhetorical question. but this one, you're like kind of like Metalocalypse. This is one, it would have to be the right crowd to show this at a Christmas party.
I think so, because, you know, one, when the duck goes on his tangent of explaining the whole monkey Santa past thing, I kind of fell off a little bit during that point. I was like, oh my gosh, what is this monkey talking about? Or this duck talking about with this monkey? And then the whole thing where it's like, it just came down to him explaining to Carl, well, you have to f*** this monkey. That's why he told that whole story, or you have to leave. And then Carl's like, well, I'm gone. And then it's like, oh, well, Danzig is going to buy your house. And I was just like, what is happening?
Yeah, they left Christmas behind 20 minutes ago.
Yeah. But then Terminator Duck just...
No.
Shared
just
this Christmas...
Bestowed this Christmas gift upon Carl and then dipped.
Elf blood. Yeah. So it was very much an Adult Swim episode.
It was a very merry Adult Swim Christmas.
Yeah.
I think that's what we're going to call this episode.
Oh, nice.
So that's perfect.
There you go. Soundbite.
A very merry Adult Swim Christmas.
Hey.
From your friends at Christmas Creeps. One last note I just want to point out. I looked these up. The C-Lab episode and the Aqua Teen episode aired the exact same night, December 29th, 2002.
I could not imagine watching them back to back.
Right. Like me being 16 years old and seeing that, I don't know what I would have made of it.
I feel like I need a little bit more oomph in my stories. Like, yeah, I like the silliness and stuff like that. But like I said, that, ugh.
Especially with like the older Adult Swim shows, I really think you need to be a little bit, you need to have some chemical assistance.
Maybe that's why I like Robot Chicken so much, because it changes. It does like skit.
Well, and two, that's what like the old Adult Swim was kind of built for, was you get 10 minutes or so and then you're out.
Right. That's why I'm so bad, because I couldn't even last like 15 minutes of that C-Lab show, because it was that bad.
To be fair, it was pretty bad.
Yeah, it was pretty bad.
I mean, because there's non sequiturs and then there's just being random for the sake of being random. And it's just like, what are you doing?
I was worried that meant that we were old.
Am I old?
Absolutely.
Does that make me old?
100%. Don't say that. I'm just kidding.
I am old. I mean, I look like Santa Claus now. But no, I wouldn't show this to people like even people that like grew up on it. Like we have better things to do than sit around and watch old Aqua Teen episodes.
Yeah.
That's just how I feel. But I enjoyed the stroll down memory lane with you, Nikki, on Adult Swim episodes from years past, from Christmases past. Hopefully we can do this again soon, because there's a lot more Adult Swim shows out there.
Yes, there are.
I could have made you watch The Brack Show, But thank you, Nikki, for joining me on this. This was so much fun.
Merry Christmas!
Whoa, you just spiked the audio there. Good for you.
You're welcome.
But folks, that was going to do it for this stocking stuffer of Christmas creeps on this lovely Christmas day. Whether it's a white Christmas wherever you are or a not white Christmas. Santa? Are you back again already? Oh, no, no, no. That's the Joker. Okay, I gotta go, guys.
Merry Christmas. Thank you for listening.
Thank you for listening. If you have any questions or comments, anything you want to send us at all in the world, you can email us at xmascreeps@gmail.com. You can also find us on all the social medias. We're on Facebook, Blue Sky, Twitter, Threads, Instagram, YouTube.
WeLoveCats.com.
WeLoveCats.com. Is there anything else I'm missing out on? We don't do TikTok, but maybe I'll try to figure that out for the new year because that seems like a good marketing strategy.
Take time for yourself over the holidays.
Yeah, you do you. You need some...
Whether it's listening to this podcast or just being merry.
If you need 30 minutes to chill out, put on one of these episodes and just, you know, let the good Adult Swim vibes take you away.
Yeah.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
Merry Christmas.
We'll see you in the new year with some bright, shiny new 2024 Christmas creeps action.
Happy Christmas.
A miracle has been bestowed upon us this day.